The Pentagon is debating whether to extend its military operations in the Philippines after its mission expires at the end of July. The military also is examining its larger counterterrorism strategy throughout Southeast Asia, particularly Indonesia. To help crack down on terrorists, U.S. defense officials want to restore more ties to the Indonesian military, despite a history of human rights abuses. But many are skeptical that Indonesia's military is reforming, and they question whether Jakarta is committed to fighting terrorism. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
In the 1990s, the U.S. Congress restricted arms sales, military training, and assistance for Indonesia's armed forces after it committed atrocities and then occupied East Timor. But after September 11th, Congress opened up a small loophole to equip and train an Indonesian anti-terrorism unit under the badge of the Global Terror War. Now U.S. defense officials want to see that loophole widened to further increase military-to-military contacts with Indonesia's armed forces. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz says that could have a moderating, democratizing influence on a military that's been central to Indonesia's stability and a source of its disorder.
So I think there's a lot that hangs in the balance right now. And part of that, in our view, depends on an agenda of working with the Indonesian military, or maybe I should say more precisely, working with the democratically elected government of Indonesia and its military.
But critics see troubling signs that the Indonesian military is not changing. Recently, factions within the armed forces got into a shootout with each other. And since September 11th, the military has often balked when called upon to rein in Islamic militants.
Members of the security forces or parts of the security forces were involved in building them up in the first place.
Retired Army officer Dana Dillon, now at the Heritage Foundation, says the military did recently arrest one leader of a militant Islamic group, Laskar Jihad, but that may have been for show, and Dillon is skeptical that working with U.S. armed forces will do much to fundamentally change Indonesia's dysfunctional military.
They have a very long history of corruption and atrocities, all of which took place while there was full military-to-military engagement with Indonesia. It didn't change it when we had full military engagement. It's not going to change it now. There has to be a will for them to reform, and right now in the military there is no will.
Others say U.S. expectations may be too high. The best the U.S. can hope for, some argue, is that American soldiers help educate and professionalize a handful of Indonesian officers who will start to exert wider influence. Asia expert Marvin Ott teaches at the National War College.
If the standard that we set is, well, the whole country's got to be transformed by this and the entire Indonesian military's got to be transformed, no. The only sort of road out of this situation in Indonesia that's at all feasible is an increasingly effective sort of humane, professional government, bureaucracy, and military. And that's something we can help with.
But what's the best way to help? Indonesia's fledgling democracy is at a vulnerable stage. President Megawati Sukarnoputri faces the challenge of gingerly embracing the U.S. anti-terror fight while not alienating domestic political allies. Other countries in the region worry that Megawati is merely paying lip service to the terror battle. Kurt Campbell served in the Clinton Pentagon and is now with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says Megawati is in a precarious position.
There are also worries in the United States that if we push too hard on her on these missions, that she will undermine her domestic position and that she'll be in a position that she'll be unable over time to effectively combat this growth of Islamists inside her country. Very significant and tricky balancing act that we're playing in there.
Indonesia's Muslim militant groups are stronger, better organized, and on the rise, unlike, say, the Philippines' ragtag Abu Sayyaf rebels. Laskar Jihad, for example, has carried out a murderous campaign in Indonesia as it tries to establish a strict Muslim state in the Moluccas Islands. Heather Hurlburt with the International Crisis Group says Laskar Jihad is a serious local menace, but she says there's no evidence so far that Laskar or other extremists in Indonesia have any international reach.
We see perhaps the best known of them, Laskar Jihad, actually sending out missions to areas where there's strife or tension, looking deliberately for communities where the religious split is about 50-50 Christian-Muslim, and seeing if they can stir up trouble. What we don't see is, say, Laskar Jihad members that seemed interested in blowing up U.S. airliners. Classic sort of links to al-Qaeda operations that cause a global threat.
Generally, Indonesia's version of Islam is a moderate one, but that could change. Some see increasing signs of militancy. Now the U.S. faces the challenge of helping to reform a military it will have to rely on to clamp down on suspected terrorists. If the U.S. pushes reform too strongly, some believe, it could prompt a backlash from the Indonesian military, causing it to return to its repressive ways. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.